This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome Riaz Kavali. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm joined today by Sunny from Riaz Kavali. And just to set the stage for our listeners, we're doing this interview, let's call this backstage, at the Montana Folk Festival in Butte, America, as we call it here in Montana, in mid-July in 2018. And before I get any further, I want to talk about the name of the group. Riaz Kavali is the name of the group, and the website is riazkavali.com. I will spell that for listeners, R-I-Y-A-A-Z. Q-A-W-W-A-L-I. And let's just dive into this. And as I said to you before we started the interview, I'm going to be learning a lot during the interview and learning about Kavali and about your work and your history with the music. In addition to it being a part of the group's name, Kavali is a, would you call it a genre of music?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, first of all, let me say thanks for having us. We appreciate it, John. And I'm looking forward to learning through the interview as well. I'm not sure if I'm an expert, but hopefully with the exchange of ideas between the two of us, we can both learn something.
Great. Yeah. I'm game. I'm up for it. Yeah. Let's start with the definition of qawwali. That's a huge question to define an entire genre of music, but let's maybe start with that.
Sure. Riaz qawwali plays a genre of devotional music from South Asia. South Asia houses multiple what Dr. Ali Hassani at Harvard University calls poetic traditions. And these poetic traditions mean that there is a body of poetry added to it as music, which creates this oral tradition that gets passed down. So, for example, kirtan in Shabad kirtan that's popular is from Sikh Gurbani plus music, making it kirtan. Similar with bhajans, so Hindu philosophy and poetry with music, making bhajans. And then qawwali is the what I like to call a Sufi version, and it certainly has origins in Islam, but it's not restricted to a particular religion. In short definition, we're from Texas, so we like to relate it to things that are close to us, and we like to call it Sufi gospel music, if it were.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. So, and just to interject here, should I pronounce the W as a V? Qawwali?
Qawwali.
Qawwali, okay.
Qawwali,
all right,
yeah.
my apologies. Now, I wanted to touch on how this music came to you personally. And I preface this by saying I have listened to the NPR interview that you did. I know there's a great story behind this. Yeah. So I was wondering if you could share that.
Sure. So I came from a household that listened to old poets for a long time. So my grandfather and my father, my mom, would read me poetry that at the age of 3, or even at the age of 30, I'm sure. I'm not sure I understand yet. So this poetry was already, you know, being given to me. And I fell in love with sort of the cadence of it, some of the meaning. And then later I discovered Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan in my life, a giant in world music, but like, I think godlike in Pakistan and India in terms of music. So when I used to get a cassette, I used to listen to it to a point where like it would break, because every night I would listen to it at least side A and side B, and then have to rewind it because I like to listen to side A twice before going to side B. And so that became a nightly tradition, and I would sleep late and wake up in the morning to go to, you know, typical public schooling in Texas.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing time, and it got me started on something that would become, you know, a purpose of my life later on.
Kha urti hai raat bhar mujh mein, kaun phirta hai dar badar mujh mein, mujhko mujh mein jagah nahi milti, kaun maujood is qadar mujh mein. Mama gaga re re sa sa इश्क मुझको नहीं साबित मैं ये करूंगा कि हूं या नहीं हूं मैं वहमो यकीन का कोई दौराहा नहीं हूं मैं सुस्ता रहा हूं रह गुजर से जरा परे क्या मुझको तक रहे हो तमाशा नहीं नहीं हूं मैं इश्क मुझको
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking to Sunny from Riaz Kavali. I'm going to get this before the end of the interview. I'm going to get this right. And we are backstage. We're going to call it backstage at the Montana Folk Festival in Butte. And so if you hear a little, you know, some extemporaneous sounds in the background, you might even hear a Malian singer walking by. All kinds of different languages here at the Folk Festival in Butte. And so that may make an appearance here in the interview. You spoke earlier, Sunny, about some of the different spiritual practices and languages that are represented, and as well, very much different parts of the world. Let's maybe expound just a little bit more on that.
Kavali comes from South Asia. So we're looking at the region geographically of India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, that sort of region. And it has that area has hundreds of languages. What are most popular in Kavali are Urdu, Punjabi, older Hindi called Hindavi, Purbi maybe, and Persian. Those are the most used languages in Kavali, and rightly so, because they were the ones being spoken, they were the languages being used in this area that was hearing Kavali the most. Mm,
okay. I want to add a question here that comes to us from our engineer at the station, Beth Ann Austin, who was not able to be at the festival, and she has a deep appreciation for music from all different types of the world. So this question comes from Beth Ann Austin of Montana Public Radio. There's something meta and simple and beautiful about a multicultural musical group inspired by ecstatic Sufi poetry and music of oneness, whose members use just their first names. Did the poets of the 13th, 14th, 15th centuries use surnames, and could you be at the vanguard of a new trend among artists? I told you she has a deep interest in this.
Yeah, and she's putting a lot of pressure on us. We're not deserving of such respect. What an honorable question, though. What an amazing question. Interestingly, when you were reading that question, what came to mind was that there was a pen name used by all poets. And that's the case, you know, universally. But that pen name sometimes was, you know, just one word. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Mirza Ghalib, a very famous poet, used Ghalib as his sort of pen name. Bulle Shah, a very illustrious philosopher, poet, used Bulla as his pen name. Mm-hmm. So in that regards, yeah, she's completely right. This was sort of, you know, one particular name that represented their particular, their identity. Ganja Shakar, Baba Farid used Farid as well. So I see where she's coming from, but I'm not sure that we, again, deserve the respect that she's giving us. At the time that we live in, there's so much divisiveness, so many forces that want us to pull each other away from one another, and we're trying to avoid that.
Mm.
So by me calling you John and you calling me Sonny, maybe we can just relate at a humanistic level, and I don't have to really understand if you're Catholic or Jewish or Buddhist or a convert, Islam follower, and you don't have to know, you know, what my background is. I think that's the purpose of our music, to one, celebrate plurality. So we're not trying to get rid of the individuality that exists in these faiths.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. That's an important point. Yeah.
And then the second is to, before understanding individuality, maybe understanding what makes all of us. We all need basic things like love and to be wanted, to be appreciated. And I think every religious tradition that I have encountered, and I've done some reading, talks about these sort of good values and traditions that I think we need more to discuss. So at face value, we want to avoid the other details and stick to the material, which is the theme of love, the theme of being intoxicated with the truth as opposed to the fakeness that may exist around us. Hopefully we're doing some of that through our music.
हम
Sonny, we wanted to talk a little bit about how vital and important this kind of music is in these times. I suppose it's vital and important at any time, but certainly as we sit here we jokingly call Butte America, and we sit here in the United States, and we have some very challenging times. And bringing this kind of music and with everything that is involved with it to American ears particularly, this is significant work. And just talk a little bit about some of that.
Well, I've enjoyed my time in Butte, America, and I'm an American through and through, and so are many of the musicians here. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I was able to discover, a part of my country that I hadn't seen before. I'm an American because I've grown up here and use the resources here. My skin color is a little different than yours, and yours is a little different than maybe another person's. But why get stuck at skin color at this point? It's a challenging time for us as humans, as Americans, but also what we're seeing in South Asia. We have this problem of creating a category of the other. This is our stuff, and you are the other. And that creates a lot of problems. It creates problems within religions. It creates problems within countries, within continents. And I think this is a universal problem that we could really be dealing with. The genre of music that we sing and try to serve talks about getting rid of the ritualistic parts of life and really concentrating on the truth, the essence, and that's been very powerful. I can mention unpleasant experiences that we've had through travel, whether they were in rural Arkansas or getting off of an airplane at a smaller airport. But I don't think that would be new information. We're all experiencing some of that, whether it's a racism or xenophobia or Islamophobia that exists. I think this is a problem for humanity. I don't think that America has lost hope. And I think beautiful festivals like Butte, the Montana Folk Festival, are bringing that light back, and we need more of that. I hope that as we start translating our culture, people understand that the values that are part of the American dream are not so far away from the values that Bhule Shah or Sant Kabir or Tulsidas spoke about. And these are prolific authors from South Asia from different religious backgrounds. I don't think we're that different. Mm-hmm. We just need a little bit more time with each other to understand our backgrounds and how we are similar.
Sonny, we've been talking about some important, some serious stuff here. When it comes right down to it, though, you got a band full of dudes. You got a band of guys out on the road. And the question I ask, all of our guests is, just tell us about some of the stuff that you do when you're not doing this very important music. I should tell listeners, we're sitting in the room with four other members of the band as well as Sonny. So
so I have to be honest.
No. Yeah, that's right.
We're musicians. Mm-hmm. We love music. So one thing we certainly do is listen to music. We've grown up here, so we listen to rap and hip-hop, and I love country. I don't know if I can say that for everyone else. Understanding music and musical traditions and how we can think about taking Qawwali forward is not something that we just do when we're a band. I think we just passively, it's sort of in our blood. How are we going to take this forward? Mm-hmm. The other thing we as a group try to do is try to understand our journey, because it's not clear, right? We're not this group in India or Pakistan that's going to just go to Bollywood and, that's how we're going to make it.
Oh, that's interesting. Like from a career trajectory.
Yeah, what's the career trajectory for this ensemble that speaks a language that nobody understands? Is translating a culture that, yes, there's a need for, but is there institutional backing and funding for? So that's something that we were even talking about late last night in this hotel lobby. What is the career trajectory for this? And that might have been after a few drinks, but still, that's what we discussed.
That's what we're getting to, the few drinks.
And then, all of us are young guys. So I got married a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Other members of the group have recently gotten married or are thinking about marriage or at least trying to settle down with one person. Uh-huh. And, so those normal things are certainly happening. It's been beautiful because the ensemble is 12 years old to go from, these college days to now, sort of becoming adults. Not yet, but soon, over the next maybe 10 years, becoming adults.
Oh, that's great. Good stuff. Riaz Qawwali, and I'm going to spell your website for listeners, RIYAAZQAWWALI.com. And that's where folks can go to. It's a wonderful website, too. You guys have a really nice layout of different experiences for.
Thank you so much. We're active on Facebook. We try to release music on YouTube. We find it important, again, given the day that we're in and living in today, to be able to give more access and free access to our music as much as possible. You're right. On the website, we don't have the same access into the to our concerts that we did in 2016. But there are other ways you can find us and find out about where we're performing. We're active and we're looking forward to making America a little more brown again.
Oh, that's a great way to end it. Sonny, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us here on Musician Spotlight.
John, thanks so much. Love the work that you've done and look forward to hearing more of it.
It's been a real pleasure. And hopefully we get a chance to talk with you down the road. This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Riaz Qawwali. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Montana Folk Festival for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.